It is Wednesday, and you know that means it's time to dig into our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. It was on this day in 1855 that a new law in Michigan took effect. The purpose? To get around a federal law known as the Fugitive Slave Act. The effect was that African Americans in Michigan could breathe a little easier. Here now to talk about this 1855 Michigan law is Rachel Clark from the Michigan History Center. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
And from Battle Creek, we welcome the director of the Sojourner Truth Institute, Kimberly Holly. It's good to have you on Stateside.
Thank you.
I want to start with you, Kimberly. This federal law, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, what did it do and why was it passed?
So essentially, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 sought to strengthen an 18th century federal fugitive slave law, which authorized local governments to capture and return runaway slaves to their owners. And it also imposed penalties on anyone that aided slaves in their flight. So the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 was actually much more punitive. It forced citizens to assist in the capture of runaway slaves. It denied slaves the right to a jury trial. It increased the penalties for anyone aiding runaway slaves. And it also gave control to federal commissioners who were actually paid to return slaves. So this really emboldened slaveholders, and it created an environment where they needed to only claim that a black person was their slave for that individual to be recaptured. And it also endangered freed slaves who were now being abducted under this act and returned into slavery.
So, Rachel, let us look at Michigan in the early 1850s. How did Michiganders react to the Fugitive Slave Act?
Michiganders were somewhat split to this. You have to keep in mind that leading up to essentially 1855, when the law was passed, Michigan had spent about 20 years creating quote-unquote black laws, and these were laws that had been put into place to discourage free or formerly enslaved people from coming to Michigan. And so Michiganders were somewhat split on the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. Some people saw it as just absolutely abhorrent and a violation of the overreach of the federal government into state power. And others supported it. Others thought that it was perfectly fine.
So in 1855, here we have a state that's been around for less than 20 years. The Republican Party, abolitionist leading, is in its infancy. So in Michigan, who controls the legislature and who was governor in February of 1855? Give us the political backdrop.
The governor, newly elected governor, his name was Kinsley Bingham. He was a new Republican. The Republican Party was less than a year old when he was elected. And so he comes in, he was an attorney from New York, and the legislature is very young, they are very liberal, lots of attorneys and businessmen, and more than 50% of the legislature is also from New York in the East Coast. There's actually only one person born in Michigan in the legislature at that time.
And Kimberly, for African Americans, for people who had, you know, gone on the Freedom Trail, they maybe gotten to Michigan and settled in Michigan hoping to build new lives, how did they react to when this Fugitive Slave Act is passed in 1850 and then in those years before Michigan took action?
Well, as you can imagine, the danger, I'm sure, was palpable. I mean, anyone was at risk of being captured. It was a really scary time, I would imagine. And you saw in other places where vigilante groups were being formed to try to combat or to circumvent or foil the attempts to capture slaves. And at that time, you started to have a lot of individuals run to Canada because of the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. So it definitely had an incredible impact on blacks that had thought that they had made it to freedom.
So, Rachel, take us to 1855. On this day, this new law in Michigan takes effect, designed to thwart the federal Fugitive Slave Act. What did it do on the ground level?
On a very basic level, the personal liberty laws that Michigan passed, there are actually two acts together, Act 162 and 163 of 1855. And the very basic wording is an act to protect the rights and liberties of the inhabitants of this state. And that term inhabitants is very important because it didn't say citizens. It was anybody that was living here. And on a very basic level, it makes the process of removing formerly enslaved people from the state. It makes it a very long process, a very difficult process. And Michigan wasn't the first state to do this. We were actually sort of on the back end of this. Maine, New York, New Hampshire, Vermont had laws like this. So on a very basic level, it made it really hard for anybody to come into Michigan and remove one of the inhabitants.
So there were new rules for locals and cities and towns, because certainly they would be interacting with bounty hunters or anyone tracking down formerly enslaved people.
Yes, these laws made it very community-based or local-based. So some of the things that these communities had to do was county prosecutors had to defend alleged fugitives. So if somebody was claimed to be a fugitive slave, the county prosecutors were required under these new acts to defend them. They also, an alleged fugitive had the right to appeal the charge to a circuit judge. The bounty hunters or the slave hunters, they were not allowed to use county jails or prisons in Michigan to hold anybody. So that was against the law now. So these were the types of very local things that communities were now required to do. And a lot of communities had been doing it for almost 10 years at that point. This just sort of expanded it to all counties.
And how did Michiganders in general respond to the new Michigan laws in 1855?
It was pretty split. Most people were in favor of it. As I said, you have sort of the older generation of people who saw this as unconstitutional. And you also get this sort of interesting argument that this was actually an infringement on states' rights. So Michigan, the people who are supporting these laws are using states' rights as an argument as to why Michigan or any other state should be allowed to pass these laws and protect the people living here. So it is split, but for the most part, people are in support of it.
Kimberly, Sojourner Truth, am I correct, had not at this point moved to Michigan?
Correct.
Was there any sense that Michigan having this new law, did that play a role in her moving to Battle Creek?
Maybe indirectly. Sojourner Truth was actually invited to Battle Creek the first time to speak. A Quaker settlement was in Battle Creek, the Friends of Human Progress, and they had an annual convention here, and she was a guest speaker. And certainly at that time, there were Quakers here that settled, that converted to spiritualism, and they had ideals, certainly anti-slavery, equal rights. And that environment, I think, fostered a more liberal environment that matched the ideals for which Sojourner Truth stood. So I think probably indirectly, it certainly could have played a role.
When you think that here you have Michigan and, as you say, Rachel, many other states, Michigan kind of being on the back end of this move, specifically passing laws that are designed to subvert a federal law, how was that received in Washington?
Not well. So this adds to a longer list of national issues that are really exacerbating tensions between northern states and southern states. There isn't necessarily a direct link to the beginning of the Civil War, but it's these things over the course of, you know, 5-6 years prior to the Civil War that are just leading to greater tensions between the states.
One more log on the fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you think about that, Civil War began just 6 years later. This was really a white-hot issue in our country. Kimberly, a little, if you will, about the Sojourner Truth Institute that you direct. What's the mission? What do you do?
So we're starting to focus more on an activist side of what does it look like to carry on Sojourner Truth's mission. So we're really excited. We're still a national resource. We get calls from people in different states wanting key facts or information about Sojourner Truth, and that's what we're here for. But we feel an obligation to also pick up the baton and carry on her work.
Kimberly Holly is from the Sojourner Truth Institute and Rachel Clark from the Michigan History Center as we mark Michigan's Anti-Fugitive Slave Act law, signed into law this day in 1855. We want to thank you so much for a good conversation and for being on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.